It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Is the word I want here esoterica? Sal likes this sort of trivia, schedule stuff, sort of random football trivia like I do. And maybe Sal already knows the answer to this question. Bulldog does, because we talked about it. John McEntee, literally on the phone earlier today. Sal, so this will be 11 straight playoff games, or is it 10? Nance and Romo, Bills playoff games announced by that booth, Tracy Wolfson, like that particular crew, Saturday in Denver. I think it's 11. It's 11 in a row, 12 total. 11 in a row. The record, Andy Proven, my guy, looked this up a while back when I was curious about it. The record, one booth, one team, consecutive playoff games. Do you know the answer to this? If you don't, I mean, it would take a while to guess it, probably, but I wonder if you'd be interested at least in who the answer is, because the Bills are closing in.
I'd be interested. I don't know. My first guess at the top of my head would be Summerall and Madden doing one of the NFC teams in the 80s.
I'll give it to you. The Giants.
Good job.
Yeah. In the 80s, and the trick to that was, when they made the Super Bowl in the 86 season, CBS had the game.
Oh, and, okay.
And so for, not that we want this, of course, needless to say, but for Nance and Romo to top that, consecutive playoff games, one team, like the Bills in this case, they would have to get to next week and then lose, because the Super Bowl this year is NBC. They have to come back next year and get CBS again. So, right. But right. Pretty good.
I guess Cowboys, but Summerall Madden was my guess too. So Giants is the answer.
80s Giants, 81 through, I don't even know if it's like past 1990. Maybe it ends with Super Bowl 25, actually, when the Giants-Bills game. That's ABC.
ABC, yeah.
Okay, so now you know that. Want to start with Saturday, 4:30. I know yesterday you were talking about how this is, you know, especially relevant to the Bills and how they finagle their roster, not playing even at, you know, at night on Saturday. It's different.
Yeah, we could start there, guys, but I think we should start with the big news of the day just happened a moment ago, that the Bills announced that Tyrell Shavers has also torn his ACL. So he joins Gabe Davis with a torn ACL, and the Bills are down to three healthy wide receivers. So we can go that way if you want. I just wanted to get that out there now in case your listeners didn't know, because it just happened like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, we already spent, as soon as we heard, but it's fine. It's a fine place to start too here, Sal, so we can get to all the other stuff, seeing as you brought it up. I mean, calamitous situation here at receiver. They've got three guys on the roster. I mean, we know Samuel's window opened, so I mean the urgency to get him on the field is going to be really high, I would think. And Mecole Hardman's here. They signed another guy today whose name is escaping me right this very second. Wilkerson, thank you. And is Steven Gosnell still on the practice squad?
He is. You know, I mean, I don't know if he'd be an option. I think they like him for developmental purposes. My read of it is Christian Wilkerson is more of a big-bodied guy. They just lost two of their big-bodied guys. You know, not that Shavers is an incredibly big guy. He's more skinny, but Tyrell Shavers is a massive loss in the run game. Oh. I'm telling you guys, like, Aaron Cromer loves him in the run game. He is really, really smart, and I know he doesn't have the biggest body, but he uses leverage, and they really rely on him in the run game a lot, be close to the line of scrimmage. I'm not saying that Wilkerson would actually take his place on the field, but my read of it is you sign Wilkerson to the practice squad because he's that guy that you're missing now with those guys out. But Keon Coleman's got to also maybe become that guy a little bit because they don't have that wide receiver on the roster. Curtis Samuel certainly really isn't that. We'll see about his 21-day window and where it goes. Sean McDermott said they'll see about him getting out there today and see how it goes for him. But, yes, three healthy guys on the active roster right now.
I echo what you said about Shavers. I mean, I know on one hand you can go, these guys are all the same as the other to an extent, right? No number one receiver, so easily replaceable. But, you know, when it's getting down to this fine a time, you know, to me, Shavers not being on the field could be the difference between a 20-yard James Cook run and a 40-yard James Cook run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the playoffs, I mean, it's everything matters so much more. Everything's so amplified. Like, that could make a difference for them, maybe a big one.
How about the block he had on a screen pass to Khalil Shakir this past week? It was right down the Bills' sideline, and Shakir turned like a 4 or 5 yard gain into a nice 10, 12 yard gain, whatever it was, because he was down there blocking. This is kind of routine for him. This is what he does. It's how he made the team this year. You know, for the last couple of years, we've talked about Shavers really kind of showing up and showing his hands in training camp. You know, people forget he's been here. This is what, third year on the team, maybe fourth actually, but either way, the point is, you know, he's a guy that we always saw him catch the ball in training camp. I think it's always been, can you carve out a role in special teams? If you're going to do that, are you going to be strong enough to uphold? And are you going to be able to be a willing and good enough blocker to justify snaps? Because he's not like this burner speed guy. He's a good route runner, right? But, you know, there's only so much he can do as a wide receiver. And that's what you're losing here. A guy that just has done everything he can to be possibly on the field to help his team, and that's a big loss for them.
Isn't he also the short option on the long pass to Cooks on Sunday? Isn't it Shavers who breaks to the sideline?
I think in the slot, like, and yeah, I think that's right.
Sal, you can play on a torn ACL, apparently?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, that's remarkable. So Sean McDermott used the word remarkable. He used the word unbelievable. So he tears his, he gets hurt in the second quarter on a punt play. I remember when he went down, and I'm looking right up, I'm like, oh my God, Tyrell Shavers is down. I didn't see if it was blocked or it was non-contact, but it didn't look good right away because it's a punt play. And, you know, he's on special teams and he's on the outside somewhere. So it didn't look good. Sean McDermott goes to check on him, goes out of the game. We are told he's questionable to return. Well, I mean, I'm standing on the sidelines doing my hit with Nate during the halftime. He comes out with his helmet on and starts running on the sidelines with trainers. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's a good sign. Sure enough, he goes back in. He played like 21 snaps in the second half on a torn ACL.
Well, I know we're all focused on what this means to the Bills, obviously. But just for a moment, for this guy, right? You just alluded to the journey, right? Practice squad just sort of knocking on the door, finally makes it, and is carving out. Like, to me, he's a guy that would be in the plans for next year, maybe even get, like, a contract beyond what he maybe thought was possible just 2 years ago. Really tough for the guy. I mean, to finally be establishing yourself as an NFL player after working so hard to get there and have it end this way. I mean, he can come back, but, I mean, he got hurt in January. He's going to be out until
I'll tell you what, middle of
next year. The
guy,
at the best.
I'm sorry. The guy I hope has his number is Trey White. Because when Trey White tore his Achilles, and we all saw that happen against Miami a couple of years ago, like, oh, now what for this guy? Then he bounced around, and we all sort of wrote him off.
Yep.
And now he's here in the playoffs. That's the thing about this, too, that you're not saying, but you know it, is when Gabe Davis goes down, or even Poyer, like, you wonder maybe if this is it for guys like that. And Shavers is a little bit younger, but less established. So when it happens in the playoffs or around the playoffs, you can sort of, I'm sure the players are thinking about what that means to their futures.
Yeah. Check on Shaver's age. He might be older than Gabe Davis.
Okay.
Gabe is only 26, by the way, I think.
Okay.
Which is remarkable when you think about it. But no, your point is right, Mike. I get it. You know, but I think because those guys and the way they play and the way they've been around, you think about that with them. You know, but Gabe's in the same boat. Like, is he going to be ready for next year? I think Gabe was in the plans for next year. I think they'd like to have him back. It wouldn't cost him much. He loves being in Buffalo. I think it's mutual that they like having him here. Josh trusts him. And now what do you do, right, with both these guys? And it's so incredible that we spent months talking about pass catchers, but the guys that they're really lamenting losing now are the guys that help them in the run game. They do all the little things for them at wide receiver. The pass catchers are still out there. That's Khalil Shakir. That's Brandon Cooks. You know, and now they're going to, and what you thought Keon Coleman would be, it hasn't worked out like that. It's the guys that are doing all those little things, the everybody eats mentality to help out your teammate. Those are the guys they're losing that are, you know, that's hurting here. Now, that said, they still have Josh Allen, and they still have, you know, James Cook, and they still have a really good offensive line. Right?
And Dalton Kincaid.
Yes, he's very, exactly. There's a player who's important to them. There's no doubt. But, you know, they'll practice this week and they'll fill his spot and they'll go to Denver and line up again.
My apologies if any of this is redundant, but I just want to make sure that people hear you clear the air on this. Elijah Moore, we mentioned him, I think, yesterday. He's on Denver's practice squad, and I'm getting people on Twitter suggesting that. You said something about that, but I'm not sure, so I want you to say it again.
They can't do it.
They can't do it?
You cannot sign a player from a team's practice squad that you are playing within the next 6 days.
Okay. So that's off the table. So any familiarity he has, you know, maybe if they beat Denver, then maybe that gets back on the table. We'll see, I guess.
Right.
If they want to keep going. So, but your options are what? I mean, they already made this move today to add a body, a bigger body, like you said. Is there more in the offing, or do you think they will just stand pat because it's already Tuesday and the game is on Saturday?
Yeah, I think for now, for this week, you're probably standing pat. They already made their move today. When they announced their roster moves today, I think that's what we saw. You saw Christian Wilkerson added. They do have Curtis Samuel. You know, the window opened up. And they do have Mecole Hardman, right? I mean, Mecole Hardman's also an option here. You know, again, not a blocker. He's a receiver, a pass catcher. He's a speed guy, right? You might have to change a little bit of your philosophy of how you run your offense a little bit here. Not a lot, not drastically, because of who's available and what you have at your disposal. Once the season is over for any team, practice squad contracts, they go, I believe, 6 days after that for each team as well. So I think if that were to happen, like, you might have to wait another week for a guy like Elijah Moore. There are always little intricacies here and teams, you know, releasing guys and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think that's the case. But that they can't go out and get Elijah Moore right now.
Well, if it's okay now, then the fact that this game is 4:30 on Saturday and not 8 o'clock – compels the Bills to make these decisions earlier, like a day earlier, yep, than maybe they would otherwise have to, right?
You're right about that. They have to make now, as far as I know, unless something changed with the divisional round and how they treat it, but I don't believe so. I know for sure that last week, even in the wild card round, the Rams and Carolina Panthers had to make their elevations on Friday for a Saturday 4:30 game, but the Packers and Bears didn't have to do it until Saturday for their night game. So my assumption is that it's the same thing for the divisional round, because that's the way it normally works throughout the regular season anyway. Because the Bills play at 4:30 Eastern time, they would have to make their elevations by Friday at 4 p.m.
Well, it might be time to go raid the Patriots practice squad then, if you're going to need a receiver next week, because then it would be legal. And there are three receivers, not that I could tell you much about them, on the Patriots practice squad.
Well, Sal, what else? I mean, this receiver thing is, you know, in danger of swallowing us whole yet again. What's the rest of the lay of the land? I mean, there are other positions and other guys that have been dinged up here. So what's the rest of the probably lengthy injury report? Well, now that we have the report.
Not yet, practicing today through a walkthrough is Jordan Poyer. He was called week to week by Sean McDermott yesterday, so that's not promising. Max Harrison, we know he has an ankle injury that looked like it could be, you know, more on the week-to-week side, but he won't practice today. Ty Johnson, that's the interesting one for me. Not practicing today is not good news. I was holding out some hope maybe that you'd see him today a little bit, and that would give you an encouraging sign that maybe he could play. It doesn't mean he can't, but that's not encouraging news. And then limited today, Josh Allen with just a lot of, I mean, pick your body part, right, soreness. Dalton Kincaid, we'll see if it's actually the knee or the foot or both, but limited today. Terrell Bernard, limited today, which is good news that he's, you know, back doing something. AJ Epenesa, Greg Rousseau, and Matt Milano, all limited. Not sure the specific ailments on them. We'll get them later.
Well, I know I asked you this yesterday, and I might ask you every day this week, but what does it all add up to when you think about going to Denver, one seed, tough defense, the physical toll the Bills are enduring, and then whatever Denver is not enduring? You were right yesterday, by the way. I wanted to make sure I mentioned this, that Denver did go into week 18 with a stake. They weren't like all set, maybe like Kansas City was last year. I treated the game. I looked at the game that way. The Chargers, you know, benched Justin Herbert. Like they kind of laid down. But Denver still needed to win. So they couldn't just relax last week. But still, I mean, it's a long break since they were playing pretty seriously. Can the Bills win this game without Josh Allen having to do what he just did?
Yeah, I think they can. It's tougher, obviously, to have that happen. But this is a game that you might have to win with defense and making sure you just get enough on the scoreboard, playing Bo Nix, and he can have some moments. But, you know, I mean, the Bills have an opportunity here against a younger, more inexperienced quarterback who they saw last year in the playoffs and beat. One that, again, has some talent that can make some throws and make some plays, but you can force him into mistakes as well. He's not super consistent. Look at some of his numbers. He's got some nice wide receivers, but he's kind of a guy that he wants to make plays on his own with his legs, get out of the pocket, go out of structure, and that's when he's at his best. And I think if the Bills keep him in the pocket, you know, they can win this game with solid defense. I think that's got to be the path to victory, and then do enough in the run game like you did last week. That, you know, I know that the run numbers were not good last week, but I'm telling you guys, I talked to somebody who said that was very important that they didn't have to abandon the run game because they were still, the game was always within reach no matter what. And if you can keep it there, you can keep handing the ball off and you can stay two-dimensional. If not, and you got to play catch-up, that's when things start to hurt you, especially against a defense like this Denver Broncos defense, when if Josh Allen's got to stay in the pocket all day and throw the ball or shotgun, I mean, that's a tough way to live against this team. They gotta be able to at least stay within the margins of the game to run the ball effectively enough. It does not have to be a 150-yard game, but it's got to be something like they were able to do last week, where there's the scoreboard's got to matter here to do that.
I wonder how much, if at all, I would assume at least some, maybe it's dramatic. All this injury stuff at receiver changes what they were thinking of doing against Denver. I mean, obviously they would have known, you know, they've known, I would think, about, mm-hmm. The severity of the injury here for longer than we have. We're just finding out here this afternoon, at least about Shavers. Anyway, we knew about Davis right away. Is it a three tight end game? Is it an Alec Anderson game? Is it just like, we're going to line up and just maul you and that have that be your passing game too? Like, pass out of the three tight end stuff just because maybe you're not going to feel comfortable with the receivers that you've got.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're right. And I'll say this, guys, too. I asked Joe Brady about this. They used their wide receivers to chip in this last game, like, as pass yep. protectors. You know, it wasn't like they were pedaling backward like an offensive tackle, but they use their receivers to chip, and they might have to rely on that again. But I do think that that's got to be the case, Bulldog. This might be a game where you're going to have to play the kind of game that teams want to play against the Bills. You shorten the game, and you want to keep Josh Allen off the field by doing it. And it's not because you want to keep Bo Nix off the field. It's because you don't have the option to play a longer game and having to put your quarterback back there to have to throw a little bit more. Like, you can run the ball, and you can, again, stay on schedule. And Josh has got to be a big part of that. One of the things that I really liked about Josh's game on Sunday was he didn't take negative plays, you know, and he didn't have a lot of opportunities where he had to throw it away, right? It was 80% completion percentage. But you can't take negative plays. It's okay to live to fight another day. It's okay to stay in field goal range. Take a field goal. That's what you have to do. And I think they have to play a game like that. The Broncos were a very good run defense last year. The Bills found a way to run against them. They're going to have to do that again this week.
One more thing. It's been an ongoing talking point throughout the season, especially once we got into it, and Kansas City wasn't it. Broken, mm-hmm. disaster, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson kind of broken, near miss, Cincinnati, yikes. Now you've got John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin out, Mike McDaniel out for what it's worth. I mean, absolute carnage, Sal, around the AFC. What a story it would make if the Bills, you know, sort of overcome all of that and are the last man standing, if you will, in a year like this where just nobody else feels like there should be a graphic or something with, you know, the bodies, strewn about the graphic.
The kingpin and the coaches are losing their jobs. Just, the Kings of the Hill quarterback-wise didn't make it. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff on the side of the road this year.
You're right about that. The NFL has always been kind of a war of attrition, and it just feels like this year is even more so for a lot of that. And the attrition now is coming in the form of the coaches too, and, you know, teams moving on from veteran coaches, newer coaches. We see that every year too, you know, guys been there 1 or 2 years or whatever. We've seen that recently, and because of that, now nine teams with head coach openings. It's amazing. I was looking today, though. The Bills are only scheduled to play three teams right now with head coach openings, I believe, if I'm right, which would be Miami, Baltimore, and Vegas next year. I think those are the only three teams on their schedule. Some teams are already scheduled to play teams with like 7 head coach openings next year, I think. So, yeah, it can matter a lot, you know, in organizations and from year to year and all of that. But it is amazing to see what's happening in these places. I do find it interesting that in neither case, like Harbaugh or Tomlin, I did not find it surprising and thought it was possible this would happen, that both guys, one or the other or both, would be, you know, not the coach anymore after this year. But what I found surprising was, in one instance, they fired him. It wasn't a mutual parting of the ways with John Harbaugh. And in the other instance, he said, I'm resigning. I'm stepping down. It's not a mutual parting of the ways. Now, people can have conversations and phrase it any way, but, I mean, that's what this is. This is not – and in fact, Steve Bisciotti said, you guys hear his quote? It was something like, somebody asked if Tyler Loop had made the field goal, would – John Harbaugh
one
still
week
be the
later.
Coach. He said, one more game, one more week.
Right.
Right? Like, they were resigned. They were going to do this. And in Tomlin's case, it feels very much like he was going to do this no matter what. So that's the part I find surprising about both those situations.
I wonder if it's – what if it's 2 more weeks? Because Baltimore didn't have to just get destroyed. We've seen Pittsburgh. The Bills did it to Pittsburgh last night. Like, the Ravens are probably not going down like that to the Texans. Maybe they're not winning. But I can't imagine they just get, with Jackson on the field and healthier, just get blown out like that. And then, you know, then it's it's different still, but that's how the world works. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Let us know how you're feeling. 803-0550 is the number. Ross Tucker at 5:30 today, not 5 or even 4. So that's been pushed back a little bit. We've got an hour between now and our next guest with Ross then, and then Paul Hamilton with a Sabres report and discussion coming up at 6. Tyrell Shavers out. How big a loss? Bulldog used the word calamitous. In combination with whatever else has happened, what else has happened at wide receiver, we will surely get back to that coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. This is WGR.